This episode is brought to you by D7. Find out why every tech should have a copy of D7 by visiting polishit.com. And don't forget to catch the Podnuts episode, Podnuts episode 74 with the creator, Nick Shaw. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode 365, the daily tech show where we talk to techs who are in the trenches, dealing with the iPods, helping out the Windows 8 users, doing everything that the end user needs help with. Today, we have a very special guest on. It is Mr. Jose Quesada from Computer Doctor. How's everything going, man?
Hey, Dor, it's going good. I'm glad to be on the show again right here, and hopefully I can impart a little bit of my experiences that I've came across. I'm not doing as much computer repair as I was, you know, at the beginning, but I have a couple of tips here and there. Hopefully they'll be fine.
Very cool. I want to say you've been on maybe three or four total shows on the Podnuts Network, but I want to say your first show was at least a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I think the first one was Android App Addicts. I think it was number 17. That was my first one. And wow. Podnuts Daily was 254 and 287.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I will say you were one of the original guys who, as soon as Android App Addicts launched, you were all behind it.
Oh, yes. I'm a big fan of Android. You probably already know that, of course.
Yeah, just a little bit of a fan. You, like me, you find a lot of fun making it your own device and just using it as a pocket tool. Yeah. Anytime anything is needed, you basically pull out your all-in-one device and away you go.
Yeah, what I find really, really good about these devices that we now have is that we don't really have to be sitting at our desk anymore on our computer to get a lot of the things done that we originally had to do on a computer only. So I find that very efficient and very useful.
Absolutely, yeah. Now I'd say, to be honest, 80%+ of my time on a computer, on an actual physical desktop or laptop computer, is spent hosting a podcast, being on a podcast, or editing and posting a podcast, and that's okay, because I like to think my computers all have a task and have a purpose. When I can unitask them, I feel like they're much more stable.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, very cool. For a little bit of history, can I ask about how long have you been fixing computers?
Well, I would say when I barely started, it was back in Los Angeles, and this was probably 2003. And I started doing it, you know, just on the side, like the way I'm doing it now. But it was very difficult back then because I was traveling a lot for my previous job, and I was almost never in the area. So pretty soon after I started, I gave up on the idea. I think I got like 30-something customers, and then I just decided to put it aside because I didn't like telling customers I'm out of town right now. I'll be back like in 3 weeks. You know, it wasn't good to do that. So, then when I came up to, the Sacramento area, you know, I wasn't going to be traveling anymore. So that's when I decided to actually give it another go and be more stable this time. So I've been here for what, 5 years almost now. And it's, I mean, I got probably 400 contacts, maybe customers.
Oh, good. Very good. Very, very cool. Can I ask, have you experienced any anomalies lately that you would find interesting?
Nothing really, really out of the ordinary. You know, the funny thing is that lately I'm not getting as many virus cleanups anymore as I used to. And that's kind of, it's kind of shocking in a way, because a lot of the computers that I do work on, they still use LimeWire, not LimeWire, because they shut it down, right? The other ones, like MP3 Rocket and eDonkey and a few other ones. Right. So it's kind of, when I work on them and everything and I say, oh, this is not going to be good, it kind of shocks me, you know, to see that they're not getting that many viruses anymore.
Wow. So would you say most of your tasks these days are like hardware failure?
Definitely. Yeah. As you'll see, the notes that I go through or the couple of cases that I brought up today here, a lot of them are hardware related.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I do think everything goes in waves where, things come and go. So I guess this for you is a downturn in affected computers.
Yes, it is. And I don't know if like I told you, I'm really usually busy with my other jobs because I have a full-time job and another part-time job that I would normally work on my rest days or any time in between when I have to. But the funny thing is that I haven't done any advertising, I would say, in about 2 years, and I still get, here calls here and there. I still get an average of, I don't know, anywhere from 6 to 10 computers a month, I would say. Which is not bad for just doing it on the side without a door, not a door, a shop, an actual shop. So it's kind of okay still, to have it as a third income, I guess you could say.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll say we all like to have extra money. For those who don't know, Jose literally works a lot, probably more than most of us. And I will say, you appear to be one of the guys that really do this. It appears like because it's kind of fun to figure out things, see new things. But with this new trend toward hardware failure, are you finding it an easy transition?
Yeah, actually, I've always been pretty good into hardware. I've never been afraid to try different things, like disassembling laptops and all that. Even before I bought Steve's laptop repair videos, I was already delving into replacing motherboards and replacing screens and all that, and it was something that I just always liked doing for some reason. All those tiny little screws and everything, they never scared me.
Well, I'll say I liked the idea of doing it, but I knew there was no way I would be able to put them back together again. So,
I never worked on one of those, so I really don't know if I would be able to, but I think that if you get into them and if you know normal laptops, Windows laptops or whatever, I think that they shouldn't be that much more difficult.
right. Well, I gotta just say to everyone who does not listen to Android App Accent, I already know this. Jose made it very clear, politely so too, to say Windows computers. Jose has a definite bias of only physically touching non-Apple hardware. And my guess is if somebody came up to you and asked you to fix an Apple laptop, your rates might go up.
Probably, but you know what? Actually, I've had a couple of people that have called me, and they've asked me, I have this Apple computer, and I just tell them, you know what? I'm sorry, but I've never worked on one of those, and I'm not really ready to just take a chance on it because I've never even used the operating system, so I don't really. I mean, I've seen it, I played around with it here and there, from a computer that my friend had brought over one time a long time ago, but it's never interested me. It's never caught my eye. I've used computers since the Commodore 64 and Amiga days, and Apple has never caught my eye. It's one of those things that, how if some people don't like onions, for example, and you just don't like them, that's what I have with Apple. I just don't like the company, period.
Gotcha. And I'll say, yes, I do remember those days of Commodore 64s vividly. And I'll say it is obvious, at least back then, you were aware of technology in general because you were also a MAME cabinet kind of guy.
Yeah, even though I've never had a real cabinet, a real setup, I've always been into emulation and everything, and that's one of those things that it's always held dear to me, the old games like Galaga and Moon Patrol. I think my favorite game overall is Killer Instinct. By far, that's my favorite game.
Yes, I do remember that game. It was like post Street Fighter side by side hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, I mean, we look at it now and it looks kind of, I don't know, a little bit not very good, but compared to the graphics of the day, they were awesome 3D lookalike graphics.
Oh yeah, they were phenomenal. And for those who don't know what a MAME cabinet is, I gotta say it anyway. Old school are arcade machines. You basically can get a cabinet where it's basically pre-built, and you basically can pick to play one of thousands of video games. And depending on your joystick button layout, you can play a lot of games. And Jose showed off on Google Plus a controller, a like size of a small coffee table controller. It looked like, and it looked glorious, is all I have to say.
Well, thank you. Yeah, eventually I do plan to finish off the actual enclosure to that setup that I have and hopefully put a front end on it. But, and I actually owe more than anything Sean 30 Thumbs, you know, because he's the one that's been wanting me to post a video about just my little setup overall. And I will get it done eventually, but I just haven't worked on it anymore.
Gotcha. Well, I can tell you he's heavily planning on doing one this year, so he wants to see as many real pictures of them as he can before he goes diving in. I'm interested to see where he goes with that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, can I ask, what kind of hardware issues have you seen come in your door?
Well, before I get started on the actual hardware issues, I'm just going to say that, you know, I heard everybody for a very long time already talking about this FBI virus. And I finally came across it for the first time, and it was on my brother's computer. And the reason they got it was because they, I believe what they were trying to do is they were downloading some kind of Halo or game or something on for the computer. I don't think it was for the Xbox. And that's how they got it. You know, so my brother calls me one day and he tells me that, you know, he got infected and he's getting this warning on the screen. And of course, I told him, whatever you do, do not go buy one of those money packs. You know, because they want their payment that way.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that has to be the ultimate indication this cannot be real. By the way, if you want this to go away, go to your local Kmart or Walmart and buy this card.
Yeah.
I don't think the FBI would work like that, but who am I?
Maybe. You never know what levels they're stooping to these days. But yeah, but the funny thing is that, you know, I've heard so much about it that I didn't know how difficult it was to get rid of it because I've never encountered it before. But it was actually pretty easy, you know, because when I was in the computer, it wouldn't let me do anything. It was like a screensaver that was stuck. It was, just wouldn't let you get out of it. You couldn't do a Control Alt Delete to get into the task manager. So, you know, I rebooted into safe mode and I went to the startup list and I found a weird looking entry in there, which I removed. And then I just ran Malwarebytes because I already had installed a long time ago Malwarebytes on his computer, and it did find, you know, rogue installations, and it got rid of it. Then I rebooted into safe mode. It didn't come up anymore, and I just did some more follow-up scans, and it was good.
Very cool. Yeah, I know there's multiple levels also you can get in affected, and some guys are having a hard time with some of the ones you're coming across with, but there's supposedly a brand new one. I think it's Homeland Security, to be honest. It's kind of the same, but it's a little bit deeper in. Thankfully, it wasn't one of them. I will say, Malwarebytes has changed since the first time you've been on the show and since I've been very active. But I find it still actually does do the job.
You know what I find with Malwarebytes is that it actually finds a lot more of the heavy-duty threats. Where Super Anti-Spyware also finds a lot of them, but I think if, like, most of the time it finds cookies more than anything else, and a couple here things there. But you know, I always use Malwarebytes first because to me it seems like the scan completes faster. So I do that one first, and hopefully that'll get rid of the majority of the heavy duty stuff, and then I follow up with the other ones and clean up whatever they left behind.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I will say they have multiple levels of scans and Malwarebytes, and the default I want to say is quick scan, and yeah, even on loaded computers that are very slow, it isn't horrible compared to like a full AV scan can take multiple hours. Malwarebytes, I've seen the longest it take was an hour, and it was on a old XP with like 128 megs of RAM. It was horrible.
Wow, I wouldn't even work on something with that much RAM. I would, if I can put more RAM in it, I probably wouldn't work on it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good trick. It was a family member's laptop, old laptop RAM, had none sitting around. I literally just would touch it for 30 seconds a day and then just walk away from it for 24 hours because I did not want to get upset.
Yeah, it's a pretty big pain to work on computers with not enough RAM.
Absolutely. I will say we're going to do a quick advertisement now from D7 and Foolish IT. They've been kind enough to sponsor the Podnuts Network, with a great offer code for 20% off of D7. If you go to Foolish IT, go through the purchasing process, put in the code PodNutsShow20, and you can save 20% off of that product. That product really is a all-in-one tool to help automate all kinds of tasks, whether it be Windows fixes, automatic scans, changing default configurations of files. It will automate a whole lot of things, but there's a little bit of news over at Foolish IT. First and foremost, I think Jose will like this. Foolish IT has a forums, and it is now TapTalk compatible. TapTalk is a really nice Android app. I don't even know if it's on iOS, that will allow you to very quickly access user forums. Nick is very active in there, so if you want to know more about that product, and if you have an Android device, load TapTalk, and you can directly communicate with users of all of his tools and with the man himself, Nick Shaw. And I will say there's another quick little bit of news, and that is there's a brand new product over at Foolish IT. It is D Support Suite. It's really hard for me to classify these, so I cannot encourage people enough. Please go to Foolish IT and check it out. This sounds like an application you install on end users' computers, whether they're in a enterprise or not, or their home users. And it's a small agent. It is like an applet on the customer's computer where you can remotely monitor PC health and Windows event logs. You can tell your customer they're having a problem before they even know it. This is the kind of support that I honestly believe we at PodNuts have to give our customers. We have to be ahead of the curve. We have to tell them they have something going wrong before they even know it. And that's the kind of support that, to be honest, big businesses cannot offer. And you can take advantage of that if you go over to foolishit.com. PodNuts cannot thank Nick enough for the support. I do plan on having him back on a show to talk about this new product because I do believe it can make us much more powerful of techs. Okay, thank you very much, Jose.
No problem.
Okay, now you said you had more hardware stuff, though, besides just the FBI virus.
Yeah, well, something that I've always, you know, I really, really enjoy listening to PodNuts Pro, and I wish I had all the knowledge that Lalo and Matt have. It's an awesome show with, I mean, that's, for me, that is like hardcore stuff right there. You know, small business support and server and all that stuff. That's something I know nothing about, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I wish I could learn all that other higher stuff, which for me is much, much higher. And, you know, but the closest that I ever got to getting into something with small business, it was just, you know, this company, it's a car detailing service, and they repair you know, collision damage, and they paint cars and all that. Well, they called me up one day, and they had problems with they couldn't print, and they had one of these big Minolta network printers, and yeah, so I was thinking, oh my god, I hope they don't have a server. You know, so I asked them, you know, they really didn't even know what they had. You know, I called them and asked, when I talked to them, I asked them, do you have a server, or is it just, you know, through the little network there in the office? And they said, no, I don't think we have a server. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll take a look at it and see what I see. So basically all they had was, they had like four computers. It was three desktops and one laptop, I think it was what they had in there at that time. And they just had a hub, they had a router, their modem, and the network printer, like I said. And they didn't really have it set up in a way that I can figure out what was going on. It was a mess. You know, the other hub, the second hub, I didn't even know that they had that. They didn't even know that they had that. You know, when I was trying to trace how this thing was set up and why they couldn't print, I was having issues seeing the printer on the network, and it was just a mess. And so I ended up finding that other hub underneath the desk, And that's why I was like, oh, no wonder it's like two separate networks here. And I just had a ball right there, you know, trying to figure all that stuff out. And I knew, but I stuck with it. You know, I said, okay, this is a little bit more than I normally do, but I stuck with it. I just worked. I told them, you know, honestly, you know, I don't do businesses, but you know, I'll try to see if I can help you out, and you know, we'll come to some kind of arrangement. And luckily, I did, and I've used them. You know, they used me actually, other way around, quite a few times after that. You know, I've done complete virus cleanups for them. I've done just maintenance. Now their brother also opened up another shop. He's separated from them, and I'm doing his thing also. So it's something that, you know, just throwing myself at that opportunity about thinking I'm not gonna know what I'm doing here, but I just gave it a shot, and I've gotten quite a bit of work out of them because of that.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I will say, typically relationships start with companies in a very, dare I say, innocent way, where they basically just open up and ask for help, and it turns out, you know, these things can be complicated. I will tell you, those big printers, all in one copy, whatever machines, they can be quite tumorous, but if you know how to work on a desktop printer scanner, it really is a great start because they are kind of alike. It's just one is happens to weigh, you know, 300 plus pounds.
Yeah, but
Very cool.
underneath they just basically communicate the same way, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's for that one. The next one here, I mean, these problems that I'm talking about here, that some of them have been over a year, because obviously I haven't been on a show since, you know, 287, Podnuts Daily 287. So some of these are very old, but I think they could still help out somebody, you know, if they came across something weird like this. The next one that I wanted to talk to you guys about is, I had a friend in Los Angeles, and she was having problems with her internet. And I've helped her maybe for like the last 5, 6 years maybe. And so, you know, so nothing changed. You know, I've talked to her, and you know, nothing has had changed since the last time that I worked on her computer, which was for spyware, I believe. And so, you know, she said, oh, well, I did move around my setup. I did change my desk around and everything. So okay, so I was like, well, is the modem on? Yeah. Is this on? Yeah. We went through the whole routine of, you know, trying to see she was getting an IP from her modem, you know, for and a router, I mean, and everything seemed to be right, you know. And I was just like, okay, so you are getting the other green lights and everything looks good, right? Yeah. But we just could not get internet, you know. And we went through it for a while. I told her, you know, I don't know, maybe you have a bad modem. I mean, I can't figure anything else from here, because I was, you know, over the phone with her. And
Right.
well, she ended up calling Verizon over, and you know, they went through the whole thing, I guess, because she told them there might be a problem with their line or something. Well, what they ended up finding was that she had accidentally plugged a power adapter to her modem that belonged to an electric stapler. So
Oh, wow. Okay.
it was weird, because it was getting enough power to turn on. You know, maybe it wasn't enough amps, maybe it wasn't the same voltage, but everything seemed to be fine, but she couldn't get internet because of that.
Wow. I mean, even if I was on site, I don't know if I would have picked up on that.
Yeah, me either. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna save this one, because I mean, it's so rare, you know, that you just don't think about it. And yep, it's turning on and everything, but it sure is not working.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. You would, I mean, the only way I think I would even look at the modem is if I brought like a laptop, but that would need you would, that means that you would have to be there and have a physical access. I mean, who on the phone is going to say, okay, do me a favor, look at your modem. Who's it made by? Who is the power adapter made by? I wouldn't have thought of asking
And
that.
I sure didn't. That's why we never figured it out until the guy went on site.
Wow,
So
amazing.
yeah, but that was a learner there. So well, now we're really gonna get into the hardware stuff here. So I had a guy at work here who you know, he gave me his laptop, and he said, you know, this thing is very slow. You know, it takes forever to boot up, and once it boots up, I can't do anything. So I said, okay, let me take a look at it. And if I remember correctly, this it was a compact CQ60. It's not that old. It's not a very old laptop, but so I brought it with me, and I, you know, booted it up, and sure enough, you know, it was very slow. I even tried going into safe mode, and you know, when you see the white letters when you go into safe mode, and it has all those loading files that is bam, 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 is just going right through them, through the list, like at 100 per second, while
Right.
that list was going like one every 3 to 5 seconds. I was
Oh.
like, oh wow, this is odd. So then I tried changing the RAM. I had, spare, I always have a little bit of spare parts here. And I tried changing RAM, I tried changing the CPU, and I even tried another hard drive, and everything was the same. I even tried to run a live CD, which also was very slow. So
Oh, well, that's not good then. That's really not looking good.
no, not at all. So I said, okay, well, the only thing left is the motherboard. I've already tried everything else. And there's another story later that I'm going to also talk about, which you'll see why I thought that it could have been that other thing. But basically, so I said, we don't have a choice but to try to order the motherboard. I don't have any other options, either that or you don't repair it if you don't want to. So he said, yeah, go ahead and order it. So I ordered the motherboard, and sure enough, when I put the motherboard in with all his original parts, everything was great.
Wow.
So that was another one that this is the first time that I saw a laptop or a motherboard be the cause of something that, the computer acting that sluggish.
Very good call. I mean, yeah, I mean, my laptop hardware diagnosis skills ended once you said you put in a live CD and that was slow too. So that's what I don't know. I guess motherboard, and especially because you use the same internal parts and it worked fine. So.
Yeah, and it's not the first time. I think on the previous podcast daily, I had also talked about another story where I had to replace three motherboards, and the guy insisted that his motherboards were not the problem. And I told him every time I put the original one, it turns on. It's just that the video wasn't working. The video had a white line scrambled all over the screen. But
Right.
yeah, he insisted it's not my motherboard, and I said I don't have any other explanation then, and it was a motherboard. But okay, well, that's that one. And the next one that I have is a it was an HP DV4. So it came into me with no power. This is also from another guy at work. Luckily, I work in a place where we used to have like 600 employees there. Now I think we're down to like 450 or less than 500. So I get a lot of work from there.
Gotcha,
So
gotcha.
this one had no power, right? And he brought me the laptop and the power adapter, and sure enough, yep, it wasn't working. And I had a universal power adapter, which is a 90 watt adapter, and it wasn't working with it either. So I was beginning to think that maybe it was something to do with the motherboard, when they don't power up,
Right.
which HP DVs are famous for. So
Yep.
so basically, he said he had brought a friend's power adapter and it worked, which was a 120 watt power adapter, which I've never seen on a laptop.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, okay, it worked. He brought it to me. He says, oh, I have this adapter from my friend that I work that it I use it with. So he brought it to me, and yeah, sure enough, it was working. So I said, okay, then I mean you must need another power adapter. But he took it upon himself to order one, and it was a 65 watt power adapter, and it worked with that one.
Oh,
I
what?
couldn't explain it. I don't know. I still don't know. That laptop is
Okay.
still working fine, but I just couldn't explain it why it didn't work with my 90 watt, and it did work with a 65 watt, even though
Well,
his original one was 120.
I heard about 2 years ago certain Dell laptops, it would accept two different wattages from the power supply. With a higher wattage, the battery would literally charge like unbelievably quick. The lower wattage, it would charge at like half speed. So that's the only thing I can think of, but I didn't know it was that picky to where it had to be either one or the other, and in the middle didn't count.
Yeah. And this was, remember, this is an HP too. Maybe they're doing the same thing, but this was a new one for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll say I've recently had experience with HP business class laptops, and they really do make the consumer grade laptops look like flimsy toys. Their business class stuff was so nice.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there is a very big gap between the two ends.
Yeah, absolutely. So DV4, no power. You had to either have a 55 or 120 watt power adapter.
Yeah,
Wow.
65 watt.
65,
Yeah,
sorry.
that's okay. So yeah, that was another weird one for me. That's why I've been saving these stories, because every time I get something that's just like, what? I just say, I'm gonna save this
Yeah.
one. So, okay, my next story is also an HP. I seem to have a lot of HPs in here.
Yeah. First, it was a compact HP, another HP. I think I see a trend.
Yeah, that's why I don't recommend them. I haven't recommended in the last 2 or 3 years, so I think they got better now, but let's see. Well, this was a DV6000, which we also know are very, very popular for having that video problem, which
Yep.
Lotfi is, he was the man when it comes to repairing or reballing those things, right?
Oh yeah, he could take a DV6000, I believe, turn it around in less than a day.
Yeah.
So like you would ship it to him and before the day completed, he would have it back in the mail to you. He was so, I mean, he did so many of them, he just knew how to do
I
it.
know, that's amazing, because I could barely take him apart and put him back together in a day, depending on how busy I am. But yeah, so this one came in with the same problem, no video. And so I ordered a motherboard, and got it going. And after I turned it on, I found that the registry tools was disabled, and the EXE file association was broken, which was very common, of course, with viruses a couple years ago, right? So then the I think I had a I had what I called on this note a chicken and egg situation, because I needed to access the registry in order to fix the executable file problem, but I couldn't get into the registry because registry tools was broken. So I said, okay, so how am I gonna do this? You can't do it without the other. And I never really thought about if I could have done it offline through ERD Commander or something else. But what I ended up doing, I through the research and all that, I found a tool called Unhook EXE. I don't know if I yeah exec Unhook exec, which is made by Semantic, and it's not very common that I use something made by Semantic. I'm not a fan of them,
Yeah, they have, I'll say, when they decide to do one little tiny thing, they actually tend to do it pretty good. But when they try to make a tool, it just seems to become too bloaty. But I have had to use this in the past, and here's the funny thing. All this is an INF file. You basically, I believe, right click it and say, can't remember what it says. It isn't run. It has like,
Would you like to import it into the registry or something like that?
yeah, exactly. And once that happens, it's like voila, EXEs now all of a sudden magically start to work. Because I remember going coming across this same issue, and I banged my head against the wall for a while. So this makes no sense. Every tool I know that could possibly fix this is an EXE, and
Yeah.
I can't run EXEs.
And you couldn't fix it. Yeah. I know it was kind of it was a new eye opener for me too. A lot of these problems that I've had, it's like you sometimes never even heard of them until you come across them.
Yeah, and what happens when you right click, it says in install is the second option down. That's typically the second one down, and it's not default. So you have to right click unhook exe to INF and hit install, and then it prompts you, do you want to integrate this into your registry? Click yes. And I believe I had to do this in safe mode, to be honest, on a
It wouldn't even
computer.
do it in normal, huh?
Yeah.
Well, but I did learn something out of that one too. So,
Very cool.
okay, that was a software issue, huh? Now we're gonna go back to.
Well, that was both. I mean, you said the motherboard was failing, and then after you got it back and running, boom, here comes round
Oh,
two.
that's true. Yeah, it wasn't over yet. So, okay, this one here, I think it's also the same. It's also kind of like a software issue. I think another laptop which came in very slow. It was also an HP, by the way, and I don't blame this one on HP though. That is something else. And this is one that also made me kind of have flashbacks to the previous one where the motherboard was a problem of the computer being so slow. So this one here, when it would boot up and you hear the Windows sound as soon as you get to the desktop, even
Right.
that sound was breaking up. It was playing in parts, like if it was buffering. And I
Right.
was thinking, okay, well, this is kind of odd. It's because you don't expect sounds to be buffered like that, especially when they're native sounds on the computer itself, right?
I 100% agree.
So basically, that's what I thought. I thought it was a bad hard drive. I did run HD Tune, and I did a benchmark, and I saw that the read speeds was barely over 1 megabyte per second, and I
Wow.
said, this ain't right. And it was, it was. I thought it was a bad hard drive because it's just having difficulty reading, and it's reading very, very slowly, right? So
Yeah.
once again, we do a little bit of research, and I find out, I mean, we all know that hard drives, especially older hardware and with IDE connections, they had a PIO mode, which is program input output, and Ultra DMA, right, which is direct memory access.
Right.
So I read somewhere that maybe it was in that other mode. And when I went into the, you go into the device manager, you go to IDE controllers, and you go to the properties of the secondary and primary IDE controllers. And sure enough, the one for the first one, which is the hard drive, was in PIO mode. And so I switched it back to Ultra DMA, rebooted the computer, and yeah, sure enough, it booted up and everything was great. So,
Wow.
okay. But here's the story here. Give it back to the customer. I said, okay, well, everything's running good. But actually, when before I gave it back to him, as I was still testing and continuing to use it just to make sure it was okay, it went back to PIO mode one time again.
Ooh.
So I said, okay, well, maybe if the hard drive is failing, it could be causing it to do this, right? And so I switched it back again, ran it again, it worked fine. And this time, I used it longer. I was convinced that it was fine because it didn't go back anymore. I rebooted it a lot of times just to make sure. And this was an older
Right.
HP. It was like one of those Z somethings, very old laptop, the thicker ones and all that. So I told him, I don't know if you want to replace the hard drive on this, if that is the problem. So it's up to you if you want to replace it or not. And he's like, no, I don't think I'm going to do it. I said, okay, well, it's working fine now. So if it ever happens again, I guess you can just get rid of it and toss it if you want. And so yeah, it never happened again. It's been at least a year and a half or more, and it's been fine.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, to me, it could only be one of two possible things. A hard drive failing, causing some signal to come back to the motherboard, or maybe BIOS battery related is the only other thing I can think of, but causing it to reset. I mean, to be honest, this is the kind of fixed when I came across, I seriously didn't know what fixed it, but I would sometimes go into the BIOS and say, restore to defaults. And then magically stuff would start to work right. I just felt that was a way I didn't have to, let's say, read a lot, but give it a try. The old college try, like almost like a BIOS upgrade, but much safer. But I mean, as long as it's working, it's working. That's all that matters. And now that you know what it was, if the guy ever complains again, then you know exactly what to do.
Yeah, and luckily, I think with SATA drives, we don't have to worry about that anymore. I think they don't have that option because they don't have ID controllers.
Yeah, there is another option that it can be changed to, but I've never seen it impact per performance. I've seen it impact whether or not a live CD can see the hard drive.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that really doesn't even happen too much either.
I haven't seen it yet, and I obviously we've had, many, many years of SATA drives already. Well, now that we're on the subject of hard drives, lately I've had a lot of bad hard drives come in. I had, including mine, and I think I told you the other day when we were on Android App Addicts that my hard drive started giving me notices, saying that it's about to fail. You should consider backing up your data. So I promptly went out and do what I'm not supposed to do and get a 1 gig laptop hard drive.
Well, I mean, it depends on who you want to listen to. I will say Scott from My Hard Drive Died show, he didn't come out and explicitly say, but he kind of insinuated hard drives over, I think it was 750 megs maybe, have a much higher failure rate than hard drives smaller than 750 megs when it comes to spinning disk hard drives. I don't know. I just bow to the guy when he talks because I know he knows more than me. But I'll say there's nothing wrong with a terabyte plus drive. You just have to be ready. You got to make sure that you do backups, which I know might be harder because it's a bigger drive.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I trust everything he says too, because he's definitely an authority on when it comes to hard drives. So but I don't know, for some reason I just and I thought about the 500 gig that I had before, and I said, well, I've never even really moved this laptop. It's been sitting here on my desk for the last 2.5 years or 3 years, and that one failed. So you know, if I try a terabyte hard drive and it's just sitting here on my desk the same way, if it fails, oh well, it'll be just the same as a 500 gig one.
Yes, you're exactly right. Now, I would say a laptop, I believe you when you say you don't move it. Customers, I don't believe when they say they don't move it, but I know you don't move it around because while a computer is doing almost anything turned on, and if you move it around, throw it around, carry it around, that's when hard drive damage happens much easier.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I tell my customers a lot. I do tell, because like I said, I've had quite a few bad hard drives lately, and I think at least three of them in the last 2 weeks. So I tell them, you know, do you guys usually carry the laptop around from place to place when it's on? And oh yeah, all the time, you know. And I said, don't do that. I tell them, if you do that, make sure you put it down very gently when you arrive wherever you're gonna put it, and don't be banging it around. And I explain to them, you know, what the dangers of the head scratching the platter and all that stuff, and they say, oh okay, so that's what can cause this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but that seems to be a trend right now, is bad hard drives coming up.
Yeah, I will say there has to be something failing in these computers, and it does seem like the season for the hard drive. I listen to more than a couple techs in my daily Voxer chat, and at least it seems like once a week someone complains about the number of hard drives that they see come in, bad hard drives come in. And that's where you have to, as a tech, immediately decide how hard are you going to hit this drive? Are you going to try to do a clone backup drive, or is it just flat out dead? And it seems like my customers I know, my friends and family and people who ask me for help, they always wait till it's dead.
Yeah. That's true. And you know, the thing about it is, like, for example, when I get a laptop that I see that is kind of sketchy, and the hard drive is having issues, I usually, like, I don't clone the hard drive first, because that's also, I would say, kind of hard on the hard drive. I usually just take their data out and I try to burn the recovery CDs, because I know nobody does that, you know. So and not only that, I get to keep a copy of them, and that way I have a, you know, we're building up the collection of recovery DVD sets.
Yeah, that is very important. I will say the one thing we techs can never have enough of is install media. If you have genuine Windows 7 install media for HP laptop Series X or Z, it makes reinstalls so quick, so less painful.
Yeah, and not only that, you could help the customer save some money if they don't have to actually either or reorder them from the manufacturer if they still offer them, or go out and buy another whole copy of Windows.
True, very, very true.
Oh yeah, so yeah, the next one here that I got, it was this one actually just happened about 3 weeks ago maybe. It was a Dell PP 18L. It's one of those. I think the it also has another model number, like D620 or something like that. But this one got wet, you know. So this guy also lives in Los Angeles, and somebody else that lives up here brought it up with him, because he already, I've done his screen on his laptop like maybe 2 years ago, so he already knows that I work on laptops. So he brought it up to me, and you know, he told me first that the touchpad didn't work, and that's what I thought was the problem. So I said, oh, that's easy, we could just replace the touchpad if it needs to be replaced. But when I get it here and I turn it on, I see no video. I mean, it seems like it's working. It's you could hear the fan going, you see all the lights stay on. Everything looks and sounds just like if it's normal, but there's no video. So
Okay.
I hook it up to an external monitor, and
Good move, good move.
everything is fine. It's working perfectly fine with it. With an external monitor. So me having a little bit of experience with laptop monitors, I have another computer just by chance. I have another computer exactly like it, where the customer didn't want to replace the motherboard, and they just let me keep it. So
Right.
I said, okay, well, I'll just take the monitor and the inverter from this other one, and put it on here and see if that's the problem. I really thought it was the inverter.
Right.
Because actually, yeah, no, I didn't even see the ghost image in the back, like if the backlight is burned out. But I was thinking, well, the external video is working fine, so it must be the monitor or the inverter. And put that on, no luck. Still the same problem. So I called him up, and these computers too, it's one of those where, in my opinion, if I'm gonna spend $200 to fix them, I'm probably not gonna fix it for myself. I would
Gotcha.
say, nah, time for a new one. But I called him up and I explained to him the situation. I told him this is how much it's gonna cost you. And he said, yeah, let's do it. If you can do it for about $200, let's do it. So
Wow.
yeah, so I ordered a motherboard. I charged him $100, and the motherboard that I got, the guy wanted 130 on eBay, but he said or best offer, so I offered him 100, and he took it. And I now I wish I would have offered him less, but anyways, so well, we got it done for 200, got the motherboard in and everything, and I did use the touchpad from the other laptop.
Right.
So yeah, it was good for about $200. He was happy.
Gotcha. Yeah, it looks like. See, all Dells have two completely different names. I have noticed that. So it looks like the Dell PP18L looks like it's the same as the Dell Latitude D630 or maybe D620.
Yeah, that's what I kind of remember. Actually, I have the other thing right here, right in front of me, the other parts, the bottom.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but that was one where I really thought it was going to be the monitor or the power inverter.
Right, but it turned out to be another motherboard.
Another motherboard,
Wow, man, you are finding some bad motherboards.
seriously. Yes, sir. And now, this last one, hardware related, is what I like to call the laptop from hell.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay, we have had a couple of these on the show before from different people. And I will say this is now becoming a big mountain to become that laptop from hell, but I have faith in you.
Okay, well, let's see. We'll find out what happened here. So the customer calls me and he says the laptop won't turn on. So I go to his house. I was gonna go pick it up. This was a young guy, maybe 17, and so I guess he didn't drive. So I went out there, looked at the laptop in his room, and I told him, it seems like it's the motherboard. It has no power. I mean, I need to take it back with me and see if maybe the power jack is broken inside or something else that might be wrong with it, but I can't do nothing else from here. So I took it with me. So not even the power light or the charging light was coming on. And I tried everything we normally try. We're diagnosing dead motherboards or dead laptops. So I ordered a motherboard, get the motherboard in, put it in there, try it, and it turns on. So I said, okay, cool. So I put it all back together, give it back to the customer. Like a day later, or actually, I turned it on for him in front of him right there. And then, okay, well, we're good. I leave. I haven't even got home yet. And he says, hey, the laptop turned off and I can't get it to turn on anymore. I
No.
said, oh, come on. So I go back over there the next day. I think that day I was already late. I was gonna go to sleep already. So then I pick it up again, bring it back with me, take it apart, try to see what's up with it. Put it back together, take it apart, put it back together, and I couldn't get it to come on anymore. And so I called the seller. I said, you know what? I probably got a bad motherboard from you. It only turned on once and it doesn't turn on anymore. And this one, oh my God, this is totally my fault. And this is one of those moments where you just want to hit yourself in the head and say, oh, come on, dude. But so he sends me another motherboard. No, I'm sorry, he didn't have any more. So he gave me a refund. I send it back. I order another motherboard and then I replace it again and then I get it back. I give it back to him again. And this time it lasted like a day or two to actually call me back and tell me it's not working again.
No
And I
way.
said, you gotta be kidding. And for a minute there, I thought something has to be wrong with your electrical outlets or something's going on.
Right.
And the funny thing is that it seems that after they connected it to the internet, every time it died. So I said, is it possible that the router or the modem might be bad and is sending power through the cables and maybe killing it?
Why
Even
not?
that's an option that I considered. I said, I don't have any other explanation here. I mean, it works fine at my house, and as soon as I take it back to him, they die. So I thought it was something to do with his house for sure. So I get it back here at the house. And I believe I was about to call that seller again and also tell him it's a bad motherboard. But then I kept messing with it, kept putting it back. I put his motherboard back on and I got it to turn on. And I was like, wait a minute. We started with this motherboard and it didn't turn on. So how can it be turning on now? But you know what I started noticing? Because I turned it on. This is how I got to this. This is one of those moments where I'm like, damn, I'm good. I mean, it actually made me feel like that for a minute there. I started putting it back together. It worked fine when I just put the motherboard in and the parts that needed to have on there to turn on. So then I said, okay, it's working. I started putting it back together, put the top back on, started replacing everything, putting all the screws back on. Well, I get to a point where after, and I did this little by little. I did a little bit, tried it, it works. Did a little bit more, tried it, it works. I got to the point where after a certain amount of time that I was putting everything back together, it didn't turn on anymore. I was like, wait a minute, what's really going on? So I thought maybe a screw was shorting it out. And so I take it out again, a couple of screws here and there. I go back to the point where it does turn on. And then I start touching the top of the laptop, around the keyboard, trying to see different things where the motherboard and the top and bottom make contact, trying to figure out what's happening here. So I finally find a spot right on top by the speaker on the upper left corner where I touch it, boom, the motherboard dies. Yeah.
Really?
So then I take off the top cover again, I look underneath, and I'm like, there's nothing here. There's no metal. There's nothing that could be making contact on the top or bottom. So I'm thinking, what is going on here? So then I put it back on, go back to the same procedure. When I'm almost done putting it all together again, it dies again. So I'm like, oh man, what is going on with this thing? So you know what I ended up doing? I said, okay, something is shorting this out. I don't know what it is. I don't see what it could be because there's no metal on the top lid. So I really don't know what it is. So I put a little piece of insulating material, I guess you can say, between the motherboard and the top cover, and then I press on it, move it around, all everything I can do, and it never turns off again. So then I put it all back together and keep on playing with it, pushing it top and bottom, every single corner, and it works fine.
So how could it have happened in the first place? I mean, it was a working laptop, then all of a sudden it was making contact to where it wouldn't boot for him.
I don't know if maybe when he was using it and when he would lay his hands on top of the computer, maybe something was making that contact. I don't know. That's what it. Yeah, but that one threw me for a loop.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would probably end up telling the guy, it's time for a new laptop, because I wouldn't have been able to figure that out. I mean, I've heard of people pressing down on keys hard, but nobody presses down that hard to actually break it to where it's now making contact.
Yeah, that's true. And I haven't heard from him. It's been about a year now. I haven't heard back from him. But I told him after the second time, the second motherboard, I told him, you know what? I said, if it happens again, I'm just gonna give you your money back, and I don't want to see this laptop again.
I understand. I understand. Yeah. Because the worst thing is, it worked. You know it worked. And then an hour after you give it to him, a day after you give it to him, it just stops working.
So. Yeah, so that's why it was my laptop from hell.
Understandable.
Yeah, so anyways, that's it as far as all the hardware for computers goes. The only other thing that I think, and obviously if you don't dare to do laptops, you're probably not gonna dare to do cell phones and tablets.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. They only get smaller, more complicated to take apart.
Yes, sir. And I've been doing, you know how much I hate that company that we always talk about. But the only thing,
The fruity
yeah,
company.
that one, the only thing I like about it is that their products break so much. So, I mean, people ask me, so why do you repair those if you hate it so much? I'm like, because it's money. I'm not using them, I'm not buying them. And I'm definitely not recommending them to people, but if they already have them and they break, I'll fix them and I'll make money off of it.
Yeah, I mean that's the beautiful thing about them to us as Texas. They cost so much typically when someone breaks one, they don't want to even think about going out and buying a brand new one again, because, you know, they already take out like a take out a small loan on the first one.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, that for some people, it's just, it's like it becomes a point where I have one guy at work who's had a broken iPhone 4 for the better part of a year, because he just doesn't want, he doesn't want to repair it. I don't know why. It's not that expensive, but he definitely doesn't want to get another one. So yeah.
Gotcha.
But I have never done an iPad. If I did, it would probably only be a first generation iPad, because I hear the second, three, and four are nightmares to put together or take apart even.
Yeah, I hear they only get harder as time goes on.
Oh, yeah. I won't touch those. You know, I'm not going to get myself into a situation where I might damage even more than what's already broken.
Yeah, I'll say a couple of guys I know that, I don't want to say enjoy doing this, but they do it a lot. They say basically whenever you get something in for the first time, because there's so many different of these small devices, you basically have to charge enough so you order two parts. So with that said, you shouldn't fix something that's not at least semi-popular. You know what I mean? Your first couple things that you fix should be devices, because there's only a set number of them. So if somebody wants you to fix an iPad screen, you charge them enough to you literally buy two of them, because more than likely you're going to break the first one.
The learning experience.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I've done, oh my God, I've probably done 30, 40 iPhones maybe.
Oh, wow.
I've done a couple of Evos, maybe two or three Evos, a couple of Droids, original Droids, and Thunderbolts. I've done a couple of each, you know, but not every type. But the only thing is right now the Galaxy S3, it is extremely expensive to do the screen on it, because if you try to replace only the glass, chances are you're going to break the screen.
Yeah, I do believe I heard that was one of the ones. The digitizer, the screen, and the glass are so tight together, you really have to replace the whole thing and not just one.
Yeah, so the part is, I think the normal price that I've been seeing is about $185 minimum. So,
wow, that's nuts.
That is nuts. I mean, I'm sure they'll come down, because, I mean, the Galaxy S3 is as popular almost, as we all know, as the iPhone. So I assume that it needs to come down.
Wow, I hope it does.
Mm-hmm. Or else I just tell the people, you know what, you're better off just looking for a new one almost, and not a new one, but a used one.
Right, but not an iPhone.
No, never. Yeah. Never, ever recommend that.
Right.
But other than that, that's all I pretty much have. You know, I don't have a shop. I don't have a storefront. That's the word I was looking for earlier. So I really don't have any of that high-end advice. You know, I mean, we've been getting so many very, very professional, you know, business owners here on Podnos Daily that it almost made me think twice about coming up with my little stuff here, you know, because they are giving us professional business advice, and I'm over here bringing, you know, basic hardware stuff and stuff.
Dude, trust me, it's all important. People need to hear a lot of stuff, including, you know, how to properly diagnose a laptop so you know what's wrong with it. You know, hearing the steps you go through help educate everybody else on things they could do. Now, I got to ask you real quick about the mobile device repair. Is there a toolkit? Because I've heard a couple guys mention a couple toolkits out there that they swear if you have these quote-unquote tools, it makes fixing mobile devices much easier.
You know what there is? I think the one that probably the majority of people are talking about is the one from iFixit. Yes. That is one that it seems like is very, very high quality and very dedicated to repairing, you know, small devices. But I haven't bought that one. What I bought is I have two different sets from Fry's Electronics that I bought, and they're very good. You know, they're probably not specifically for the devices that they're meant to be repaired, but they're very good. I mean, that's what I use, and it was like about, I think it was about $24 for the one that has all the Pentalobe and the very, very, very small Philips and all that. And I'm good with that. I've been working with that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I do believe the one guy said that the one he got off of iFixit, as soon as he got it and used it for the first time, he actually liked it so much he went back and bought three of them just so he had them.
Okay, just to have backups, huh? Wow.
Yeah, because these tools, you have to literally like spooge the pieces apart, and from what I believe, that's going to age, that's going to physically damage your hardware after time, so you have to have backups.
Correct, yeah. And you know the thing about it, like the iPhone 5, I've looked into it because it hasn't happened yet, but I know somebody's gonna call me and tell me their iPhone 5 is broken. And that part is actually pretty expensive too, because you have to replace both the screen and the digitizer. And that part is also way up there with the Galaxy S3 price.
Ah, see, that's nuts. I mean, I'll say I understand their point. Their point is, hey, yeah, just buy a new one.
And I really recommend people get, especially with a high-end device, I really recommend to get the warranty or the insurance policy or whatever. I get it from Best Buy, because I have a guy at work who he says that he's replaced his original Evo many, many, many times. And they never told him anything. They never have made a fuss about it. They just give him another one. Now they don't
Wow.
have him, I'm sure. I don't know. Who knows if they do or only refurbished. But he talks very highly of the Best Buy warranty, which is like $9.99 a month. And I have it for my Galaxy S3. But I tell people, you know what? Just get the warranty. I mean, especially if it's one of these phones that's going to cost you over $200 to replace or repair. You're
Yeah.
paying 2 years of warranty with that already, and you could replace it multiple times.
Yeah, I'll say I have the one through Verizon. They clearly say if I use it more than I think it's twice in a 12-month time span, basically I'm done. I can't do it
Hey,
anymore.
but even that's worth it.
Oh yeah, and that I want to say is between $4 and $6 a month, and I've only had to use it. I thought I would use it a lot more. I think I've used it maybe twice in 4 years, but they were genuine. Breakages. It wasn't, dropping in a toilet kind of thing. Well, that's not what I told them at least. But they were genuine breakages to where they were covered and it was very painless. I mean, all this company wants to do is get you off the phone as quick as possible. So you just call them and say, I lost my phone, I stepped on my phone, whatever, and they just replace it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been lucky. I mean, I love my toys, my tech toys, and I haven't broke a phone since Windows Mobile 6.5 days.
Oh, well, I would have broke that
Well,
too.
I didn't break it on purpose, but well, that's the only thing I have to say. But as a last little piece of advice here, if people, since most of my repairs are laptop related and they seem to be, or those are the oddest ones I get. So I think that if people are out there that want to get into laptop repairs and they still have not, I think they should definitely consider looking at Steve's laptop repair videos. And that's a good way to get, good experience. You support the network and Steve and you. And that'll give you a bunch of experience, a bunch of good ideas of how to diagnose all these problems, because it's kind of hard to do it on your own without learning from somewhere, I guess.
Oh yeah. Honestly, I don't want to say scared to open up a laptop. I know how computers work, but I still looked at a laptop like I don't know if I'm going to get it back together right. But I did get those videos and I did watch those videos and it showed me the things you got to look out for, the way you have to be a little bit more organized. Desktop, you can almost rip the side of the case off and do what you need to do and just put it back on and you're fine. Laptops do require a little bit of organization when you take them apart, just so you know the order to put stuff back together, where are all those screws and things to look out for.
Yeah, that's for sure. You definitely have to be organized. And
Yeah.
I think that's all I have. Other than that, I think what I found, and Steve has said it, he said it many times before, Cherubino, that, if you have good customer service, you're gonna get business, you're gonna become well known, and they're gonna spread the word around. So that's my philosophy. Just be honest, try to do a good job on everything you do, be thorough, like, for example, cleaning up the laptops before you return it, and when they get it back, it's like, whoa, is this mine? Because it wasn't
Exactly.
this clean when I gave it to you. But communicate with them. If you have issues, like if you get a bad part or if you are running late because you've been busy with other things, at least let them know, that you haven't done it yet, but you're working on it. Or just don't keep them in the dark, for 3 or 4 days. And that's pretty much it, and the last thing is, for me, this is a big problem. I definitely do not charge what my time is worth, and that's something that I need to take for myself, but I think that everybody else should also just consider. It's harder for us that don't have an actual shop to consider ourselves as legitimate repair technicians, so we kind of feel like we have to charge less, and I don't think that has to be that way, but I really need to take my own advice on that.
Yeah, it's really hard. The one thing we have to get through our heads is people are not paying us to fix these things. People are paying us for the things that we took the time to sit down and learn and for the time it takes us to fix things. That's why I'm a kind of in favor of flat rates for certain things when you know how long it's going to take, because that's what really people should be paying for. And like virus repair, a maximum of 3 to 4 hours kind of thing, because you should know pretty quickly in should I just reformat and reinstall, because I will still say that's the only way to be positive everything's gone. I'm all in favor for trying to run scanners and trying to clean stuff up, but just remember how long it takes should directly influence how much that you are charging.
Yeah, that's correct. And I never charge a per hour fee. I usually, if I go to a customer's house and it looks like it's going to take a very long time, I tell them I need to take it with me. I don't stay 6 hours at their house. But that's one of those things that you're right. I mean, you have to have an idea of how long it's going to take you or from previous experience and just charge accordingly. And that's what I do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say, we did mention the laptop repair videos. I want to take a quick second. This is not a paid advert. If you want to learn everything you possibly can about a website and how to make it make you money, you need to go check out Tech Site Builder. Steve just came out with Tech Site Builder 2. Yes, it is something you can download, install on your web server, and get a site up fast. That's not the real benefit from it. The real benefit from it is there's genuine SEO in this product to help you target your audience, target your customers. And the layout of the site is in such a way it drives customers to make phone calls. Customers do not want to sit on your site and read pages and pages and pages of text. They do not want to watch hours of video. They want to know if you can fix their product, and if so, how do we get in? How do we get in a contact? Steve C gives you a product where it makes it very easy to get straight to the source and start making your business successful. So please do not forget, go to Tech Site Builder 2, help out Steve C, and you will get a lot of help back. I want to thank Steve C for all the support for the Podnuts Network, everything he's done to help build this network up to be quite honest, what it is today. Jose, I seriously can't thank you for coming out enough. Dude, I'm really sorry you've had all these hardware issues and all these motherboard issues. That is a lot of motherboard issues, man.
Yeah, there is, but it's all money in my pocket, so it's all good.
Absolutely. And you also got a chance to learn a little bit on the way. Hopefully that laptop from hell never makes a return into your zip code. And I definitely wish you nothing but the best. If you have any news updates, or if you just want to come on a show, please do not hesitate to let me know. And if you out there want to be on an episode of Podnuts Daily, or any show on the Podnuts Network, please do not hesitate to contact us at mail@podnuts.com. If you have email or voicemail, I will heavily prefer voicemail. All you have to do is call up a 707-6 pod nut, and you can leave us a voicemail. If you send us an email, I'm probably going to try to find a way to get text to speech so we can play it during the show.
Just don't get Siri.
Nothing in my house could run Siri. I'll just say that, Jose.
Good. Well, thank you very much for having me on again, Dora. I honestly didn't even think I was going to have an hour of material, but apparently we went a little over.
No, dude, trust me. I can talk to you for hours about fixing computers and tech because I know you've seen a lot of things, and we have a lot more to talk about besides just fixing computers, man.
For sure.
Absolutely. I want to thank everybody for downloading, and I wish everybody a good week.
Bye, guys.
Does your computer repair business need a website, but you don't have any experience and not a whole lot of money? Check out Tech Site Builder 2. Save 20% by going to techsitebuilder.com/PND, which stands for Podnuts Daily.